Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
This morning, the gospel is titled The Rich Young Man. We've heard this story before, and it's one that really should cause us to think about our own life. So I'd like to reflect on that today and invite you into some deep reflection for a Sunday morning. What must I do to inherit eternal life? That was his question, this young man, which is a great question, and it says a lot about him. How many young men, I don't know how old he was, we don't know all that, which is kind of interesting. We don't know his name. Really, we don't know hardly anything about him. We just know that he was rich. But he comes with that question, what must I do to have eternal life? I mean, really, that's the biggest question of all, for all of us. And Jesus says, follow the commandments. He starts listing them off. And the young man says, yeah, I've done all those. Kind of proud. Pats himself on the back. I've been good. Following the commandments, which is great. Better than most people. So then, what I find interesting is, he pushes it further. You know, he could have just walked away. Yeah, I'm following the commandments. That's all I got to do. But then he says this, what else must I do? And you can just see Jesus kind of going, all right, you want to ask that? Then we'll go deeper. He says, go sell what you have and give to the poor. Then come back and follow me. And this is the part that always struck me about this reading. His response. His face fell, and he went away sad because he had many possessions. Again, this is a fine young man, obviously, asking some really important questions. But the part that always strikes me is he walked away. And a lot of times, you know, we hear the stories about like the apostles and other people. What did they do? I was just listening to Bishop Barron talk about this. He said they dropped everything and followed Jesus. But when do you hear a story like this? And we don't know what happens to this young man. That's what I always wanted to know. Like, what happened to that guy? There's speculation. I'd like to speculate in my optimism that he came back later. Because obviously he was a fine young man, prayerful guy. So I'd like to think he left for a while and reflected, and he came back. Because he knew where he really wanted to be. He just wasn't quite ready. Ever felt like that? Yeah, I know. Not much participation. It's okay. Yeah. Humans, ever felt like that? Like Jesus calling you a little closer to himself? Or maybe asking you to do something a little more? Come on. Yeah, we've all felt that way. It reminds me of these young men. I work with a lot of young men. I've been blessed with young men trying to get them to the seminary. And one of the old priests, he used to say to me, why don't you leave these guys alone? Because I would say, Father Betts, one of my mentors, I'd say, hey, what about so-and-so? He'd make a good priest. He goes, leave those guys alone, man. You'd say that about all the guys. But I can't help it. You know, I see a good young guy, and I'm just like, you ever thought about going to the seminary? They're always like, their eyes get real big. But it's worked to some extent. Got a young guy now. I pray for him. I'm not going to say his name. I'm working on him. He's getting closer. But the hard part is that. It's getting closer, but not quite ready to do it. Like this guy. Good-looking young man. He could do anything. Smart, valedictorian. And maybe that's part of the problem. He could have all the girls, all the money. He's that close to jumping in but it's hard. And that's just one example. But so then we go on in the gospel. Jesus says those troubling words, how hard it will be for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. That should bother everybody here, by the way, because everybody in this church is rich, relatively speaking. And we think about this world we live in, we're rich. So that should get underneath all of us. It does me. Those words bother me. He says, Jesus, it would be easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get to heaven. Really? How does that happen? Like getting a camel through the eye of a needle. I'm smart enough to figure that one out. That's not going to happen. So then, it's interesting. The apostles, by the way, they're bystanders in all this. They're kind of listening to all this going on, and you can imagine how they were feeling. And Peter, who speaks up, not always well, he says, well, Lord, we've given up everything for you. What will there be for us? Good old Peter. And then Jesus says, Peter, everything. You can't outgive me. Everything you've given away will be poured into you 100 times more. Of course, he found that out. And that's true, by the way, being a priest. You know, because people will say that to priests. Oh, Father, you know, you've given up this, and you can't have that, and you can't do this. It's always the can'ts. I just smile and shake my head that people have no idea how great it is to be a priest. Giving your life away to God and the blessings that come from that. I hope that you all experience that in your priests. You know, the great life that is being a priest. Yeah, you could talk about, oh, you can't do this. And I remember when I told one of my good buddies I was wanted to be a priest, and he was like, he went through the whole list with me. You're not going to have this. You won't be able to do that. I won't tell you all the details, he said, but you can imagine. Are you serious? You're not going to do this, and you're not going to have that? Yeah, you can imagine. And I was like, yep, that's what I'm saying. Of course, he's a great friend of mine, a great supporter. But, you know, that's natural to think like that. I mean, what's wrong with you? But the blessings of giving your life to Christ, you always get more back. And that's true for all of us. I'm not saying this about myself, but being a priest, that's my way of doing that. But it's a constant challenge, though, I think. That's why this gospel is a challenging one for all of us. It does remind me of a fun little story. But when I was a young priest, first ordained, the priest I was with, he had all these little magnets on the refrigerator. And one of them, it had a priest on there, and the title of it was Retirement Plan. And it said on there, the pay is not real good, but the retirement plan is out of this world. And I always liked that. And it's true. The pay is not bad either, by the way. Anybody wants to be a priest? If any priest complains about his pay, slap him around, because he's got plenty. That's not a problem. Trust me. But the retirement plan is really good. And isn't that true for all of us? Yeah, we all want a retirement plan in case something happens to us, you know, monetarily. But the real retirement plan is out of this world, eternally. And to me, that's what Jesus is getting at today. So we're back to that question again. One that we really have to be asking, like daily in our prayer. What must I do to have eternal life? And you know, I can't answer that for you, because you have to answer that. You have to come to that yourself, like I do. And it's a challenging question. Even though I'm a priest already and have given my life to Christ, but that's a daily thing, to trust Him. To me, that's what it means, really, is that, like that young man, he couldn't quite detach himself to trust Jesus fully. And isn't that like the challenge of our life? well, Lord, I want to trust you and surrender to you, but can I still like have this? I mean, aren't we all going to struggle with that as long as we're alive? Until we take our last breath, we're going to keep asking that question. And Jesus is going to keep looking at us. Are you ready to surrender yourself fully to me? The young man wasn't at that time, but like I said, in my optimism, I really think he came back because he was asking the right questions. He had a good soul, and so do all of you. And by the way, did you notice this little detail in there? It says, when Jesus looked at him, he looked at him with love. And that's probably the part that really got to him. You know, nobody can look at you like that, really. I mean, like a husband and wife can, and a mom and dad. But imagine Jesus looking at you with love in your eyes. And he does. He always looks at us that way. And maybe that's the part that's for him, the young man, was the most intimidating because he knew where he really wanted to be. And we all kind of know where we really want to be. It's just getting there. And again, the word that comes to me is surrendering. How do you do that? That's what you all want to know. And I do. I think it's a daily thing, surrendering to Christ and our life to him. I see people do that because I'm with a lot of people who are dying. And it's hard surrendering fully. So sorry to kind of leave all of you with that today. No, I'm not. That question, what must we do to have eternal life? Well, we know the answer. We kind of got that today, didn't we? Jesus says, or they said to him, well, then it's impossible. That's what the apostles said. Jesus says, for human beings it is, but with God all things are possible. How I read that is, the only way to be saved then is to be united with Jesus, to surrender to him. He's the gate. He's the one that can pass through. He has, and he'll take us with him. So, in your daily prayer, then, keep praying about that question. What must you do to have eternal life? Yeah, you have to follow the commandments. But Jesus will take you deeper than that. Notice the commandments are often, you shall not. You shall not do this. Jesus wants us to go deeper with him. This is what you shall do. Give your life to him. It's a great journey.